This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I'm Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, hey.
Lon.
Hmm?
Would you touch tarantulas?
I think they're cute.
Oh, really? So you would keep them as a pet?
Yeah.
So you're like Rob.
I mean, I never really considered tarantulas. I just do remember growing up thinking they were scary until I started following like insect accounts and finding out how like spiders are actually beneficial, and they're often misunderstood because of how scary they look. Yeah, now I look at tarantulas, spiders, what are they? Octopeds or whatever. Differently.
Wait, so they would be helpful if they're out and about. Like, I wouldn't want a tarantula out and about. You know what I mean? I know spiders keep the population of the other insects in check, but I wouldn't want them out and about in my house. Like, maybe the smaller spiders are okay, but not the big ones, right?
Yeah, no, it still freaks me out. It still freaks me out to see a spider somewhere, or if I'm not expecting like a spider to crawl out from underneath something and I see it.
Yeah.
It definitely do freak me out. But if I had one as a pet, I would definitely want to pet it.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's dial it back. We are covering episode 6 of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After season 8. And we're talking about Sophie and Rob. And is that not her ring, Lon? Did Rob just randomly give her another ring?
I really don't know. It looked like he pulled it out of a drawer of rings, didn't it? Like,
right.
I don't know what it was, but he looked like he had a drawer full of all kinds of rings. I didn't know. Is that a drawer full of rings? And he doesn't know. And it doesn't seem like she really knows either. What is up with this couple?
Yeah. Are they even a couple?
Like, how do you not know what your wedding band was? And neither of them were convincing enough for me. You
yeah.
know, like,
yeah.
to be fully confident, right?
Yeah.
And we still don't know how she lost it either. Never really
right.
said. Yeah.
I think I've said this before, Lon. I've lost interest because they don't come across as an interesting couple anymore. They just seem like two whiny people who happen to be together and trying to solve like first world problems.
Yeah. And the formula is to turn it into sex again, right? So now we're focusing on their sex life. And it is interesting for me, at least, that they haven't had sex for half a year, 6 months. That's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, that's definitely a red flag. It's indicative of problems in the relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
for
definitely
a young couple.
Red flag. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who and supposedly got married.
Yeah. It could be either just the stress of what they're going through right now. I have to admit that I've been in that kind of relationship where we didn't have sex for a very long time, but I knew it. And I was like, you know, in that relationship, I knew that we had problems. And it was difficult for me to be intimate when we were having problems. It was just the desirability wasn't there. Mm. So I can understand that. And you see that there's a lot of conflict in their relationship. Sometimes they have these moments where they're trying to be cute or whatever. But it was surprising to me to find that out, to be like, wow, like, it's that serious. Like, the problems are that serious. And when I wasn't having sex in my relationship at that time, I knew how serious the problems were in that relationship. So in terms of me having to compare it, like, it's pretty bad.
I was going to ask, do you think there's trust issues between Sophie and Rob, or are they even a couple? It just seems like they're disgusted by one another. Like their body language, it's almost like fake attraction.
It could be a contractual obligation at this point. Yeah. You know, maybe they are disgusted or repulsed at each other, but you know, they need that show money. You know what I mean? And yeah, they have to act a certain way and just to be on the show. I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad if it's, you know, contractual because it is very telling, but
yeah. I don't think it's performance, right? Like it's 2024. We see commercials for male enhancement, you know, all the time. Like pills are readily available. Gino is unashamed. He just goes ahead and says it. Like it's not as shameful as it used to be. Like these, right. It's now an official, like commonplace, diagnosable, whatever. Right. So it's not that. Just take a blue pill. So there's got to be definitely some other reasons they're not being intimate.
Yeah. They're not a couple.
They're not. It's a sham, y'all.
All right. I thought we can move on to... Man, there are other couples that I would like to talk about, but I just feel conflicted. Well, let's go with Thais and Patrick. I feel like it's a filler episode where we see them traveling to Brazil. If anything, my takeaway is the fact that Thais's dad, Carlos, wants Patrick to get his blessings again, but this time in person. So I guess this whole trip is about that. Well, it's about them bringing Elise to the Brazilian side of the family. It seems like the drama is going to be surrounding this whole, you know, Carlos and Patrick getting along and then Thais and John getting along as well during the trip. But yeah, the other takeaway that I got from watching them on this episode is the fact that they have an apartment which they rent out to Patrick's dad.
I think it's his dad's apartment and he's renting it out to them. Right?
Oh, it's not the other way around? Because
I thought it was the other way, yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought it was theirs because when the dad asked for them to paint the place, they were kind of annoyed. And I figured like they're probably annoyed because they're the landlords. They probably don't want to spend money sprucing up the place. But yeah, maybe I'll watch it again. I thought it was theirs and that they're renting it to Patrick's dad. But
it could be.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was a filler episode too. I mean, it's nice to see them. I like them as a couple, but just the entertainment factor hasn't really quite been there. I thought the part in the car when the dad called him a little bastard, I was like, what the hell? Like, here's the thing. The whole thing was Thais not telling her dad.
Yes.
Right? I understand the position Patrick is in. So for him to take this out on Patrick, while at the same time being on the phone with his daughter and being all lovey-dovey with her, dude, like, she's the one that didn't want you to know.
Yeah, slap your mother's wrist or something.
Yeah, like, come on. It's... I believe the point was, yes, he definitely felt a bit disrespected that Patrick didn't do it in person. And that's definitely something that needs to be corrected. So I get that part. But then like, just, oh, that little bastard. And Patrick like, that's uncalled for. What was that about?
I wonder if it's a term of endearment as well. You know, like when you're close to each other. And you
yeah, come, like he's just like, fucking around with him.
Yeah.
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 I kind of saw it like that too.
I like to think of it that way. But man, they do travel with a lot of luggage. Like I saw that Tesla being all stacked with their luggage. Yeah, that was something.
And it's the SUV. It's the SUV one too, right?
Yeah, it's jam-packed. Didn't you put one of your luggages in the passenger seat? And I'm like, dude, why can't you rent a bigger car for your family? Like you have the dog on your lap, right? And then... the baby and Thais at the back and then your luggages. Yeah. And
And the
Yeah, that's
passenger seat
crazy.
was cooched all the way back
Yeah.
to give more room. So
Yeah, that's crazy. Maybe they didn't have a lot of rental cars at the airport or something. All right, yeah,
yeah, it just
interesting
seems
to
like
see.
they're just setting this. They're just set this one is just setting the stage for John to show up and then maybe to manufacture some kind of drama with
Oh my
Patrick's
God,
dad
yeah.
showing up. Yeah.
Totally. I can see
I
it.
didn't think that was such a big deal. Like, oh, this bothers me right now that his dad is here, you know. Oh, like, are you serious? Like, he hasn't seen his son and his son's in the country and like that's a problem? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say Thais does look genuinely surprised. Like, either she's a really good actress or she's really not expecting a lot. And maybe Patrick sets her up to get her riled up. I don't know. Like,
Yeah.
Patrick not telling her that John is coming, or Patrick not telling her that, hey, my dad's gonna stop by and he's gonna have a lot of demands on this apartment.
Yeah.
Because she does look like she's genuinely pissed and naturally, spontaneously annoyed too. So unless she's a great actress, I mean, I'll give her that. You know, she
Yeah.
really had me convinced that this is all like unplanned. But oh well. All right. So we don't have Gino and Jasmine and Ashley and Manuel on this episode. But guess who they introduce us to?
Alexei and Lauren?
Yeah. And
You
you
don't
know
like
what?
them?
I'm glad you asked, Lon. I'm glad you asked. I used to like them. I think they seem like a fun couple. They were like one of the OGs, right? They started like way back when. One, I don't understand why TLC keeps featuring them. Like, I get that they have a really interesting relationship. At this point, you can tell that the family drama is all manufactured. But also, you know, in the wake of all this, you know, everything that's been happening right now, it's becoming so obvious that they're Zionist. And I don't even know if I want to get behind them. Like Lauren, for instance, you know, that trip that she went to Israel, that's a birthright trip. And that's something that she's privileged to do as an American Jew, I guess, whereas, you know, a Palestinian would not be able to go back to their homeland, even though they have the keys to their house, they have the deeds to their land. And I know this is not Lauren and Alexi's fault, but I just can't pay any mind to Zionist. It just feels weird and wrong, you know? But that said, they're a fun couple. If I sort of like suspend my, not suspend my disbelief, but if I were to just suspend my worldviews and I just pretend nothing is happening around the world, yeah, if I take it just at face value, like Lauren and Alexi are, I think they're nice people. They're a fun couple to watch on the screen. You know, like we learned that Lauren wants to get multiple surgeries for herself. Good for her. But then when you know what they're about, I just, it icks me, you know?
I'm glad you brought that up because that didn't occur to me. That was definitely something that I overlooked. But also, and I don't know much about them. So I did see them when they were on the show previously, before they had children. I really liked them at the time when I was watching them. You can be Jewish, but also pro-Palestine. Am I
Correct.
correct about that? And that's
Because
not a position that they hold or that they have been shown to display.
so
Yes.
Alexei worked for the IDF. So recently he actually he actually said something about this whole genocide, and he said, you know, the reason why humanitarian aid are not coming fast enough over land is because Israel has to check them thoroughly to make sure that these aids are not weapons being sent to Hamas. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? These people are hungry. They're malnourished. I don't understand why you still think there's Hamas among these people.
Yeah.
I mean, women and children are Hamas? Like, come on. Like, I think it was just done in poor taste. Like, I know he's trying his best to like explain why those aids that people send, that they're stuck in the border, and he explained it, but like, I think you can tell by his explanation that his mindset is still like, okay, Palestinians are Hamas. Like, that's being conflated. Mm-hmm. And that's the dangerous point of view that a lot of Zionists, not Jews, Zionists, right, are trying to convince us, is that all these kids that are throwing stones at the soldiers and all these, you know, women, children, they are Hamas. No, they're innocent civilians, you know?
Right.
So I don't mean to turn this into a political thing, but I'm just trying to explain like how I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to talk about Lauren and Lexi. And I think this is the bad part about TLC too, right? It's like, you know, who they put on their platform, right? I mean, we don't talk about Angela and Michael, and we don't want to talk about Big Ed and Liz. It's the same with Lauren and Lexi, man. I mean, they may be the nicest couple out there. They may be your neighbors, but it's dangerous how they view a certain group of people, you know?
Right. Right.
Like, I wish Lauren would come out and say, you know what? What I did with the birthright trip is, it's actually not a good thing. But I met my husband through that trip, right? Because she was a counselor or something, and she went on the trip, and that's how she met Alexi. And Alexi's role, interestingly enough, even though he's a medic for IDF, his role as someone who's sort of tag onto a group that's coming for a birthright trip is to convince Jews from abroad to take over or to live in Israel. So even his role as a very innocent guide for the birthright trip, there is like a really sinister intention behind that, because he wants to convince these Jewish diaspora to move to Israel so they can settle. And by settling, they're displacing the natives.
Right.
So
to continue the colonizer settlement that is.
Yeah. And the ethnic cleansing that comes with
it. It is what it is, folks. And these are the values that we stand behind in this podcast. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Not yeah. Yet. Sorry, Lon. I mean, they were once my favorite too. And I was like, damn it. But I heard she's also a Karen.
Don't apologize. So. Yeah, that's fine. Here she's also a Karen. Out with her tummy tuck and lipo that she doesn't even need.
Man, I mean, you know what? As a feminist, I'm pretty sure you feel this too. But you know what? You know, you do you, Lauren. Like, if you want to look good, feel better about yourself, you know, you do you. Like, you don't let other people tell you otherwise. I mean, I think I can definitely relate to her as a mom, right? Like, I wanted to do cool sculpting on my abdominal. Yeah. Because I'm like, well, I do all these core exercises. It's not going anywhere. Like, this pregnancy fat is just stubborn, y'all. So I wanted to try something non-invasive. So I wanted to go for cool sculpting. But I also didn't want to take the risk. But I understand the need for it. Like, you know, you want to feel better after you have like three kids, you know, in their case, right? You want to feel better about yourself. Like, okay.
Right. You know, and that's where I think I'm coming from is, I'm all for it. And I'm like, well, why is everyone freaking out? And then I remember, okay, like, I'm not approaching it from like, oh, it could be risky. Cause we don't hear a lot about botched surgeries and things going awry, you know, but there are those cases where people never say goodbye. Even they're crying because they're like, I never had the opportunity to say goodbye, because they assumed that it would just be the standard operating procedure, you know, and that they'd see him in 5 hours. So yeah, I'm completely oblivious, you know, to the risks. And yeah, I'm always like, why are people giving her such a hard time about it as well, you know? And then I'm like, okay, wait, she has three kids now to look out for. When the mom was like, you know, she can't think about herself, she has to think about her kids. That's when it kind of hit me, was like, okay, yeah, if something bad happens, knock on wood, it's going to be Alexi with three kids, you know, and I don't know if he has a full-time job yet. So she's going to be,
still, all this, what is he doing?
he's gonna have to do, yeah. So he might have to do something, right? Hopefully, you know, doesn't
Is
come
he
down to
not
that.
working yet? Like, what is he doing then? Did we ever establish that? Like, what do they do?
Not in
My
this
job.
first episode, it didn't really say.
Oh, damn, dude. He's been in the US so long already. I mean, holy crap. It has been what, 10 plus years of 90 Day Fiancé?
Stay at home dad, possibly. Three kids, you know?
Not even Uber? Hey man, no joke, but I hear that Zionist, they try to sell real estate, Israel's real estate, to
I've seen that already, yeah.
foreigners. Like, could he not attempt that? Not that I want him to, but you know, like
Jump on Zoom
professions.
calls and stuff, yeah.
No, it's like professions that Zionists can do. But anyway, sorry, I know that's in poor taste, but I mean, like, I'm trying to keep it real too, right? Like, you know, these are the stuff that I learned that, oh, so you guys been selling real estate, like, of
Yeah.
places that don't belong to you? Shady. Yeah, you're right, Lon. I think about the women who died while doing like a routine lipo or doing like this type of surgery. Like, I thought about very famous one. Not that she's famous.
Donda.
Yes, I thought
That's
about.
what that's who always comes to mind, yeah, for me.
I thought about Cher's mom in Clueless. Sorry, I know that's fiction, fictional death by
So
surgery.
it's okay to laugh about that, I
No,
guess.
I mean, like, I don't know if
Yeah,
people would get the reference because I'm a huge Clueless, the movie. I'm a huge fan of that movie. So, you know, in the movie, Alicia Silverstone's character, her mom died of lipo, and she just say it like it's a normal thing.
wasn't she such a Betty,
But
right?
yeah.
But then, yeah.
And then she goes to her mom's paintings like, "Hey mom, I
Yeah.
got in on math or something." Like, pretty groovy, Oh man. That movie's iconic. Okay. So
Classic.
guys, man, are we bigots or what? Like, oh, hypocrites. I know we shouldn't, but damn, Nicole is so abusive.
Yeah, we can get into it. I think there's a constructive way to talk about this relationship.
You know, listeners can call us out on it. I don't care, but I just have to say it. Like, Nicole is abusive, man. I mean, put yourself in Mahmoud's shoes, right? Like, you've been in the US for what? He says 2 days now, 2 full days, right? I mean, sure, you're mad at your wife for wearing something that's actually not that exposed, but I get it. You have a strict standard for her. But I think what crosses the line is the fact that she brought guests over even though he's not up for it. And then the guests, I mean, her friends are like poking the bear at him, you know? What do you think, Lon? Like, which part is the part that kind of went too far for you?
So for me, I think it was when she started to berate him and then continued to berate him in front of her friends. I don't necessarily put any responsibility on the friends because I don't know if they know anything about the culture. They can try their best to be sensitive and things like that, but I don't think it's their responsibility to know everything and to understand all the boundaries, right, when they're initially being introduced. And for me, if I was ever in the friend's position and I did something that was a complete faux pas, I would apologize and say, "Oh, you know, I had no idea. I'm open to learning though. You know, I'll respect your beliefs moving forward." So I don't really blame, you know, the people. If she invited me over to meet her husband, I might have been the guy that said, "Let's fucking do some shots, man. This is cool. Like, welcome to America." I might have been that guy. I'll admit it. That's just the kind of guy I am. I'm really social. I'm outgoing. I like to make friends quickly. And like, that's one of the things I'm like super open to. Does anyone want some tequila? Yeah, let's fucking do a shot. Welcome to America, guy, my new friend. That's just me.
Meanwhile,
So
Mahmoud
you know,
says that you have alcohol in you.
right. And then meanwhile, I'm throwing his wife under the bus. So I think it's more on her. I think the responsibility is on her. And okay, I get it. The source of conflict here is where do we draw the line? If we say we're going to try to meet each other halfway, where's that halfway point? Have we defined that? What does halfway look like? And I think her friend did a good job of trying to define that. What does halfway mean for you? What does that look like for you? Like, I think for her, it means that it's okay that a little bit is showing in the back. He's trying to reason and trying to say, look, like, what have you met halfway? And I think if they can find healthy ways to resolve that. But I don't know. At this point, I think we're past that. I think at this point, they want to be who they are. I think Nicole really doesn't want to be Muslim anymore. She doesn't know how to say it. Her way of saying it is, I'm an American and I'm in America now, and this is how we do things in America. But she doesn't know what it's like to be a Muslim in America, which is completely different because there are Muslims in America who are still American, but still practicing a certain level of their religion, albeit maybe without certain rigidity. There's a way to do that. And I don't think she's consulted with anybody about
She should consult me. You mean?
And with Mahmoud, I don't think he's trying to see that aspect either. I think he's just, I'm a Muslim. I'm in America, but I'm not trying to be a Muslim in America. I'm just trying to be Muslim. This is it. And that's it. And respect it. They're just very different people. I think it was a mistake to get married. And here we are. She's berating him in front of her friends. And it's just, it crossed the line in the previous episode, but for it to continue, for her to talk to her husband like that. And like I said on the last episode, this isn't even about religion anymore. It's just purely respecting your partner. And if we were to speak that way to our partners in front of our friends, it doesn't matter what religion you are. Like, that's just bad, period. Like, we have an understanding that one, we don't treat our partners like that. And two, when we do, it's not in front of other people, for sure.
Yeah,
So,
that's the double disrespect, I guess.
yeah.
I want to go back to your comment about, I think Julian tried to say, like, where's midway, right? And I
Right.
think when I watched the episode again, like, one thing I caught when he asked that, and Mahmoud, was being very almost like stubborn, and he's not being like cooperative or not even compromising, is because from his standpoint, the bar is his mom, right? Or the bar is a proper Muslim slash Egyptian woman. But to Julian, the bar is LA women. And LA women, I mean, I'm not saying
Good
anything,
point.
but I'm just saying like the bar is different here for Julian and for Mahmoud. So when you say to Mahmoud, where's Midway? I don't even think that his Midway is even, like, is Julian's Midway. Like, I think for Julian, he explained, like, okay, that it doesn't look that exposed to me because if you look at other LA women, like, look at what they're wearing or not wearing. Like, he's trying to tell Mahmoud that it's not so bad. And while he's right, in Mahmoud's head, again, with the context that he's still new to LA and to the US, his context is, I don't know what you're talking about, but my midway is not your midway. So my Muslim standards is not what you think it is because you don't even know. I was going to ask you, like, do you even think Julian is being helpful? Because I know he's trying to explain to the cameras that, oh yeah, like, they both have to work it out, blah, blah, blah. And he was trying to chase after Mahmoud. To me, I think chasing after someone who wants to be left alone is dangerous. Because again, that can be seen as poking the bear too. Like, imagine like the bear's trying to run away and you're chasing after it. What if the bear turns around and like start attacking you? You know what I mean? So I just don't think that's a good idea. Maybe I'm projecting because if I were to walk away from a situation, it's because it's really bad. And if you were to come after me, you might get my wrath or you might get, I don't know, like it can go either way. And with Mahmoud, I don't know. Like, now that we know that he's been arrested for DV, yeah, I mean, thankfully Julian, wasn't caught in camera. that, you know, he didn't try anything on Julian, but Julian's a big guy anyway, right? Like, that's like, fuck around and find out if he ever tried anything. But I just don't know if Julian and her friends were being helpful at all, because I think if I were me, and maybe, Lon, this is like the opposite of you, right? If it was me, whether I'm Muslim or not, if I come into someone's house and I sense like a weird vibe, I would be like, you know, another time, let's meet another time. You know, we can kiki tomorrow, or like, you know, some other time. Like, when you sense like someone is kind of off and like they want to be excused, I would not say, I would be like, you know what, I'm a bounce, you know?
I'll let y'all work this out. And when y'all are both in a better mood to party, we can go, we can continue, but just call me. You have my number.
Yeah, exactly. I think when Nicole got pissed off is because while Mahmoud is trying to be polite and say, hey, I'm not feeling up to it, that's why I didn't want to go meet you guys, like I'm tired, Mahmoud is not trying to throw her under the bus. Meanwhile, she felt like she was being thrown under the bus just because he's giving a generic excuse when the actual excuse would have thrown them under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if he had said, yeah, we argued because my wife's wearing something that I don't agree with, and that's why we argued, and that's why I don't feel like going to dinner with you guys. Like, first of all, that's so verbose and also TMI to a bunch of strangers that you just met. So, like, when he said, like, hey, I'm tired, not feeling up to it, I want to be excused, I thought that was probably the most polite thing to do and walk away. But then Nicole sees that as, like, I've had it. Like, you're a liar. And, like, I guess that's her playing up the drama.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we come from, and maybe it's just not where we come from, but we try to protect our families and our image and, you know, obviously not airing our dirty laundry out to people. So that's definitely where what he was going for. Like, oh, you know, I'm just not really feeling it. I'm tired and stuff. Like, he didn't want to just, well, we're having problems right now, guys, and now is not a good time. Like, of course. But she's like, you liar. Like, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Why don't you tell the truth? You fucking liar. Oh, I was like,
you know, she called him, you hateful little fuck. And I was like, whoa. Did it have to escalate that way?
I like, know.
Anyway, I think that's pretty. Oh, actually, we have one more. Emily and Kobe. Thoughts?
You know, it's more of the same. I was just like, are we still talking about this? But yeah, they're just, they're really, 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 really harping on this whole, like, she's bossy, she's bossy, she's bossy theme. Before we get into that though, yeah, they brought it up, and I guess she said she doesn't want to see his friends at their wedding if they're holding these kinds of judgments about her and stuff.
I was going to ask you, would you invite people that don't approve of your relationship to your wedding? Let's say, and I'm going to throw a curveball here, what if it's your parents?
Good question. So I think if there were people who didn't approve, I wouldn't want them there. However, if I think my partner was maybe misunderstanding, so there, I think there's a difference between not approving of my marriage and thinking my wife's a bit bossy. I have room to work with and say, okay, now that we're into this, let's dig into it a little bit. I think Kobe, he's stuck in the middle, but I think he needs to put a bit more effort into defending his wife, right? And I think that's where he's dropping the ball. I get it. And if I were in his shoes, I would be like, okay, yeah, she could be a little bossy. These things you have maybe about American women, I understand. But this is my wife, and you need to respect my wife.
Yeah.
You know, I can work with that. It's not that they don't approve of his marriage. I don't think it's there yet. I don't think that that's where it's at. I think, oh, you know, she's really bossy. Are you going to be happy? You know, we're looking out for you. I understand that whole thing. And we've seen that across the board, you know, where friends, when they have an opportunity to chime in and say, are you sure you want to marry this person? Is he the right person or is she the right person? I think that's normal to have that concern for somebody that you love, someone that you care for, someone you just have their back. So I get that. But I don't think Kobe is doing enough to defend Emily. And I think she would feel more secure if he did. He kind of does it with her. Well, I say kind of, because he also doesn't really with her. It doesn't give her a lot of confidence. But I think it would go a long way if he did. So, yeah. And he dropped the ball. So that was his fault that she brought the friends to the club. So the reason she brought his friends to the club is she's trying to make them like her and to say, hey, I'm a fun person. I'm really nice. Let's hang out. There's no hard feelings here. She's doing her best to please them. So Kobe, knowing this, dude, why didn't you tell her? Why didn't you say, oh, well, if that's what you're trying to accomplish, this is the right way to go about it. Instead, he waits for her to do it, and then there's already this like rift, and now his friends are going, oh, well, you know, this isn't how we actually do it, and we're judging you right now. We're grading you right now. Kobe, why the fuck didn't you say that then? Like, I would have looked at Kobe and been like, what? You set me up. Like, you knew I was doing this. Why didn't
It's a
you
trap.
say, yeah, why didn't you say, oh, well, you actually should invite them to dinner and maybe have a home cooked meal or something like that. You fucking set me up, dude. It's a trap. Like, my jaw dropped. My jaw fell to the floor. Like, I felt bad for her in that moment. I understood what the guy was trying to say. Like, he wasn't really saying, oh, we're really judging you or grading you. I think it came out kind of wrong, but I understood what he meant by, oh, this isn't the right way to do it. And for us, it's almost like culturally, we're kind of evaluating how you're navigating our culture. I think that's a better way to have phrased it, you know, and I understand that. But Kobe just left her out to dry. I was like, he's dropping the ball on all these things. And if that wasn't manufactured or unplanned or whatever, I don't think it was, because she just got up and left. Because that's embarrassing for you to drop the ball like that. And actually, Kobe dropped the ball and put it in her lap, is what he fucking did. That's like, oops, like, here you
Dang.
go. Like, come on, man.
Sneaky.
Yeah. And at that point, he definitely should have stood up. When she stormed out, in my head, I was like, if I were Kobe, I would have got up one. I would have said, look, like, that's my wife, and you need to respect my wife. Like, I love her. That's my wife, and you need to respect my wife, period. From this point moving forward, you have to respect my wife. Two, I would have admitted to dropping the ball. Two, I would have said, you know what, guys? She wanted to do this because, you know, she wants to build a relationship with you guys. She wants to be your friends. She wants you guys to like her and approve of our marriage. I dropped the ball. I should have been the one to say, hey, that's not how we do things in our culture. And it would have been better. Like, take some fucking responsibility. You know, instead, he hung her and left her out to dry, man. And I'm just like, whoa, what are you doing, Kobe?
And Lon, all valid points. I think the only thing I want to add is that we're starting to see that side of Emily that people were not fond of, which is her being very insistent on getting his friends to approve of them or to like her. And again, I take all of this with a grain of salt, y'all. Like, this is all scripted clearly. And I like to think that Kobe should and would defend Emily if there were no cameras. But I think the producers probably set this up too, right? I think I said this in our last recording too. Like, I wish Emily would read the room because she just come across as very bullish and just very insistent and really harping and stuck on the whole, like, oh, his friends don't approve of me, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm an American, blah, 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 you know? And I'm like, can we move past this? Like, to me, it's getting kind of stale real quick. But I get it. This is the drama. And I've said this before too. Like, I'm just looking forward to the wedding. My eyes is on the prize, y'all. I'm just looking forward to the wedding. Like, I'm happy to skip all this drama. But if I were to comment on it, I would say, yeah, everything what Lon said earlier, but also like that part of Emily that folks were not fond of when we first got introduced to them, it's starting to resurface. And she's sort of playing up the bossy American white lady. And I just hate that for her because I know deep down she's obviously a nice person. They're both a really great couple.
Because even in the club scene, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm trying to prove to you guys that I'm not. But then I'm going to do everything to prove that I am.
Yeah. It's like contradicting yourself 101.
Like, no, and then she's talking over them and raising her voice
a
little bit.
Though,
I'm just like, yo.
In the club when the music's loud, like that's not the place to meet people and to talk through things.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, well. All right, Lon, on that bombshell, what is your WTF moment?
For me, it was Rob and Sophie and no sex for 6 months. I didn't understand how serious or how bad their relationship had gotten. But once they said that, that really, for me, was a clear indicator. It was like, this is unhealthy. They're in a bad place. A really, really bad place. If they have been intimate with each other for half a year, that really made me go like, WTF, like y'all need to do something to get this relationship back on track. And you know, the signs were there. She was already living with someone else. They weren't talking. They had particular grudges. He felt disrespected and obviously on the tell-all. He felt emasculated. So it was like, the signs are all there, but I didn't quite understand the gravity of it until, you know, you haven't had sex in 6 months. What have you been doing? Like, what do you mean? For me, that really put things into perspective.
It could be what a lie, too.
Could be. Yeah. For all we know, they're knocking boots when the camera's off.
It's exactly. For me, this is going to be another one that's so offshoot is Big Ed canceling his wedding because of taco pasta.
Yeah. and
talk about that, a runaway that was a groom, y'all.
Yeah. And that was frustrating, right? To watch that scene with Big Ed. I'm poor me, you know. Yeah. It was, she didn't want to talk. And it's like, dude, I understood her part of the story. It wasn't that you made a mistake and the pasta was too spicy. It's how you spoke to her kid. It's how you spoke to her daughter in front of your family. Like, you know, and he made it about, oh, himself. I made a mistake. The pasta was too spicy. And it, the faces he was making. And you, I'm like, dude, I just want to knock this guy out. I can't stand to watch his scenes. Like,
yeah.
I
guess, you know, that's indicative of someone who has expertly learned how to make himself the victim, like that, right? Like it's instantaneous for him. Like naturally, when he's at fault, he's immediately the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
Yeah. And I never thought I'd find myself agreeing with him, but I do agree with this. Finally, he comes to this realization.
Yep.
Yeah,
that they're not meant to be together.
They're not meant to be together. And
good
I'm just
for
like,
you, Big Ed.
Yeah.
Let Liz go.
And you know
go.
What? Right. If Liz is not in a place where she's healthy enough to go like, look, this is bad for me, you know, then I think, I'd actually applaud Big Ed for saying, look, if you're not going to let go of this relationship, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, I finally agree with him on that.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, let her live in peace. Let her find somebody who can make her happy. It saddened me that Liz was sad because she said she was trying to show him that she deserved him or that she was worthy of him or that she was trying, you know, and that he should keep her because he should see her effort and her value. That fucking made me sick and it made me sad. I'm like, no, like, you can do so much better. Are you kidding?
She's definitely the real victim. And I think she needs help in that sense, right? To see her actual worth and like her being upset at Ed, that was her natural mama bear instincts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, you shouldn't talk like that to her kid, right? And that should have been the breaking point. But for some reason, Liz sort of like internalized that and make it about herself too. Like, oh, maybe I'm not worthy of being with Big Ed. Like, what? No. And I'm glad that one of them is breaking this off because, yeah, every time they argue, Liz always puts in the extra effort to patch things up for them. And I think that needs to stop. So, yeah, I guess my WTF moment is taco pasta.
Taco pasta. What is taco pasta? What? When she said taco pasta, I was like, wait.
No freaking idea. Like,
apparently, like stoner food?
Munchies. Yeah. Munchies food. Yeah, I don't know. All right, Lon. Come to the end of our recording of this episode of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap this up?
I started watching, well, actually, no, I finished it yesterday. There's a series on HBO called something like Massacre of the Mormons or something.
Wow.
No, yeah, idea. It's super interesting. It's true crime. I know it's related to another documentary I saw about these Mormons who went out to Mexico and they had a disagreement over who was like, because you can only have one number one top prophet. And one guy started to believe that he was the one, even though they already had a prophet. So they split up into two Mormon communities, you know, and the guy that believed he was the top prophet, he started killing people from the other community. Mind you, they were members of his original community at one point. Yeah. So that was a separate documentary. And this one kind of relates to it. So, okay. So years later, there's these Mormon communities. They're thriving out there in Mexico. And the documentary I'm talking about, A Massacre of the Mormons, like some family members or community members were murdered by Mexican cartel. Yeah, it's super interesting, very sad. Women and children die. Oof. Yeah. And obviously they show what happened. There's video of like some of the things that happened, some of the things the children went through. And they talk about how this maybe wasn't even something personal. One point is that the family, when they were traveling in three Suburbans, you know, and Suburbans are what the gangs drive or what the cartel drive. So, and they're traveling in a pack. So then the rival gangs were like, oh, that must be the other so-and-so cartel or whatever. Oh, like, get them. Yeah. Mistaken so identity. Like, yeah, it wasn't that they were out to murder some Mormons that day. It doesn't make it any better or anything that, but yeah, it was still messed up. It was really interesting. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I watched that. I thought it was really, really interesting.
Yeah. What do you think of Couchella Weekend 2?
I was texting you. I think we were texting during Grimes.
Yeah, I know. Is she really trying?
Like, still can't catch
I would say it's
break.
Better. It's
it
better.
It was definitely like, better.
Better,
yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like there's still some technical problems.
She was running into similar issues, I think. It was like, huh, this again? Or I think it was double time again when she was doing the sync. Yeah, so there was that. But there were definitely some really, really amazing, for me, DJ sets. Last weekend, Adria Teak was phenomenal. I think that was the best set of both weekends. Wow. It could have been Anima and Prids. If we got the full set, they only aired 30 minutes of it, which was very disappointing. But the 30 minutes they gave us was still, I would say, maybe the best 30 minutes of that set.
Sure.
Ali and Fur was on Sunday. It was stronger for DJs, I want to say, the second weekend, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I thought Lana Del Rey did better this weekend. And I caught No Doubt again, and I, once again, super impressed. Yeah, so I didn't catch a lot of the DJs, unfortunately. I think maybe I did. I forgot, like Grimes. But yeah, just to see if it's a train wreck again. And to put things into perspective, right? Paris Hilton never had any issues when she DJs, and we all know that she outsourced all that, right? And Grimes dating Enema, so what's the deal there? Could
Right.
she get some help? I don't know if she's still getting money from Musk, but I mean, maybe, child support money. But yeah, all that money, like, come on. Surely she can do the set without any problems. But she's talking less last weekend. So it's not like she paused and kept talking and paused and kept talking. Like, I mean, it was decent.
She did a better job of handling how she handled it, I guess, or controlling the situation. The 2 weekends ago, she was letting it spiral out of control. I think last weekend, she was a bit more okay, like, let me not freak out and let me kind of rein it in for sure.
Oh, well. All right, folks. I think that is it. Like, follow, subscribe, share, leave us a review, send us an email or DM us if you have any comments. I know we talked about a lot of controversial stuff and it might be a turn off, and we apologize, but we just want to stay true to ourselves. Yeah, and just make our listeners aware of what's going on. Of course, don't take our word for it. Always do your own research. But yeah, that's about it. We'll
Bye.